God is good all the time, and He does good all the time. Hallelujah. Somebody say that with me. Say, He does good to me all the time. Amen, amen. You know, I've been exhorting along these lines this week. Let me just rant with you for a second. You know, I wrote an article in that local church connection. It won't come out for probably another month. And I just like to wake people up with the truth, you know, sometimes. I said, what if this preacher here in Macon, Georgia, just wrote a little poem or a song, and it said something to the effect of, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters and makes me to lie down in green pastures. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because God is with me. Hallelujah. His rod and His staff, they comfort me. And you know what I'm doing. And I'm quoting Psalm 23 to you. You know, if I were to have written that, say that wasn't scripture, and I put that out there somewhere, there would be a line that would want to come and persecute me for saying, who do you think you are? He's the Lord our shepherd. He's our God, and He does these things for all of us. Amen? And see, sometimes I get a little backlash sometimes when people hear my voicemail that says, you've reached the disciple whom Jesus loves. Amen. Because people think, no, He loves me too. Well, duh. But I'm talking about what God does for me. That's why I say I'm God's favorite. You can be God's favorite too. But it's not me saying it for you. It's you saying it for yourself. Amen? So it's when we start to get bold and confident to knowing who our God is to me. Then the confidence comes in to face those Goliaths in your life. You know, David, when he went before Goliath, we'd have to add to the Bible to assume that God told him to go face Goliath. You know, no, he just showed up there and he heard this uncircumcised Philistine breathing threats against God, blaspheming God. So guess what? Because of the honor of God that was on the inside of him, he rised up in that situation and said, I'm going to take your head from you today. Again, God didn't probably tell him that. But because he knew his God, there was the confidence to face Goliath. Likewise, we all have Goliaths in our life. Things that seem like insurmountable odds. It might be sickness. It might be poverty. It might be a bad marriage. It might be all these different things. And these Goliaths stand in front of us. The way you're going to be able to confront them and defeat them is knowing who your God is to you. The prophet Daniel said this, the people that know their God will be strong and do exploits. What does it mean then for the people who don't know their God? They're not going to be strong and they ain't going to do any exploits. Amen. So the confidence comes in knowing who God is to you. Amen. So let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. For the last time. For this season. Today I believe we're going to be concluding our series on communion with the Holy Spirit. Of course, we're going to continue talking about the Holy Spirit pretty much all year long. But we're going to move into some other elements of Him. We're going to begin talking about the types of the Holy Spirit and the advantage of the Holy Spirit and what He's commissioned to do in our lives and so forth. But this particular series that we've been doing, which has been an attempt to establish us in the fact that the Holy Spirit has been sent and given to each one of us so that we can have communion with Him, that we may walk with Him and see the effect of that walk together with Him in our lives. Amen. So it's been really good, and if you've missed any of these teachings, I highly encourage you. You can sign up for the DVDs or CDs out there in the foyer. If you're not a DVD and CD person, you can go to our website, and you can listen to all of them free of charge. And I love a minister that I listen to all the time. He likes to say this. He does his stuff free of charge, too, and he said, you know what free of charge means? No excuse. Amen. There's no excuse for not getting it and getting it on the inside of you. Amen. So we've got all these ways for you to learn these things and continue to establish your hearts in them. But this particular teaching is revelatory. It is something that I believe that if we get it, like the early church was said to turn their world upside down, we'll turn Macon right side up. Amen. If we will learn to walk in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let's look at this verse again. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14. The Apostle Paul was praying for his children in the faith, and he prays three things for them. the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Say, be with you all.
Be with you all.
So does that mean this is just for the select elect?
No.
The super saints?
No.
No, this is for every single person who calls Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. These things are supposed to be an active operation in our lives. Amen. The first thing, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that's God the Son. And love of God, that's God the Father. And then the communion of the Holy Spirit, that's God the Spirit. So the Trinity is represented here. So what we're seeing today is the present day ministry of the Godhead, the Trinity, in our lives. And this is what they provide. Now, we would all agree that Jesus Christ deserves all the glory, amen?
Amen.
And we would all agree that God the Father is worthy to be praised, right? Well, if the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead, do you reckon he might deserve a little attention too? Do you think he might deserve a little respect, a little honor? And while certainly I agree that the Holy Spirit has been sent to glorify Jesus, Jesus made that clear. That does not mean that we completely ignore the Holy Spirit and never talk about him. So that's what we're attempting to do in this church, is for this year, we're attempting to counterbalance all the negative things that people believe about the Holy Spirit and so forth by talking about him a whole lot more. So we can, why? Pull us over to the middle of the road where we're supposed to be. Amen? So what we've been doing is going through this, looking at what the communion of the Holy Spirit is. We found out it's the fellowship of the Holy Spirit that's to be with us. We found out it's the intimacy of the Holy Spirit that's to be with us. It's the partnership of the Holy Spirit that's to be with us. And it's the sharing or the contribution of the Holy Spirit that's to be with us. We've all covered all these things in this series. But then we began going through the book of Acts, which is traditionally called the Acts of the Apostles. And like I've told you a couple of times, I could not disagree with that title any more emphatically, because it wasn't just apostles that did these things. It was the church that did these things. Amen? So I'd prefer to change the title from the Acts of the Apostles to the Acts of the Holy Ghost through the church. Amen? So what we've attempted to do is go through the book of Acts and see the various examples of how the Holy Spirit operated alongside of the church and how they saw the great revival, the great fruit that they did. Now, one thing that we've got to be mindful of, because while Pastor Robert said, we get good word in this church, you get taught very well, and there is a place for the Word of God, that does not mean we replace the Spirit of God for the Word of God. You know, some people, if you put it down to brass tacks and you ask them what the Trinity was, if, according to their belief system, they'd say God the Father, God the Son, and the Word of God. They would think he's part of the Trinity. But no, the Word of God is Jesus. Jesus is the Word, amen. It's the Holy Spirit that's supposed to be active and operating in our lives. And when that happens, we'll get the same fruit the early church did. Amen. So we started in Acts chapter 1, and we found out, I'm just going to give you a quick synopsis of what we covered thus far. Acts chapter 1, the Lord Jesus appeared to his disciples after his resurrection, and he said, go and tarry in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father, who, he said beforehand, would be poured out on you. And notice what it said, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Power to what? Power to be witnesses. Not to just go witnessing, but to be a witness of the Lord. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is witnessing made fun. Amen. You know, I made that comment to you before. He'll make it fun to you. If you go with the Holy Spirit, you follow him. We'll see some of this morning. But if you're following the Holy Spirit and you're listening to him and you're hearing his voice clearly, I'll tell you what, you'll get around people and you will get results. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit knows that person better than you do. And he'll show you things about them that will confirm to them that God is indeed alive. There is a God in Israel. Amen. Praise God. So in Acts chapter 1, he said that with this power would be poured out on them and they would be power to become witnesses. And then Acts chapter 2, we see the fulfillment of this. That when the day of Pentecost had fully come, the Holy Spirit fell on them like tongues of fire rested upon them, and 3,000 people were saved on this particular day as they heard them speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. And then in chapter 3, Peter and John go to the beautiful gate and they follow past this crippled man. And the crippled man looks to him expecting to receive something with him. And you remember Trey's paraphrase right here? is that we always like to quote the King James, silver and gold have I none, and so forth. Well, he says basically this. He wasn't saying he was broke. He was essentially saying this: I left my wallet at home, but I got something in my possession that I can give to you right now. What did he have in his possession? He was just baptized in the Holy Spirit, so now he's got the power, amen, to manifest healing into this man. Praise God. So we see this happens, and Jesus begins to preach to everybody there in the temple. Excuse me, Peter did. And a bunch of people get saved, a bunch of people get converted. And then later on in chapter 4, we see how they get arrested. And they were brought before the Sanhedrin. And then Peter, being filled with the Holy Spirit, began to testify to the working of God in this situation. He said, man, this was the Lord's doing. Praise the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Don't look at us as though we're something. It's the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of us. Amen. And so they end up testifying before these guys. And then they forbid them to even speak in the name of Jesus anymore. So they go back to their companions in Acts chapter 4. And they say, hey, look, this is what these guys say. So they begin to pray together in one accord. And the whole house started shaking. And the Bible said they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, praise God. See, that teaches us that we should be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen. So the story goes on, and then we saw in Acts chapter 6 that after all these things happen, the apostles found out we're not able to do everything on our own. So we need to make some deacons to wait on the table so that we can give ourselves continually to the Word of God in prayer. And so they chose 7, and in the midst of these 7, there was a man named Stephen. Amen. You know about old Stephen, right? And what I love about it is the Bible said that he did many great signs and wonders, that he was a man who was full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, and of a good reputation, praise God. And so, what I love about that is, he was not an apostle. So what does that teach us? It's not just the apostles that are the ones that are called and anointed to do supernatural things. Stephen was simply a man who chose to stay full of the Holy Spirit. He maintained a good reputation before people, and he was full of the Word. Because we found out, if he was full of faith, he's got to be full of the Word, because you only have as much faith as you have Word in you. Amen. So this man was anointed, but then we saw what ended up happening. 3 different fruits of the Spirit-filled life. Number one, when these people came to him to argue with him, he began arguing. He began speaking by the Holy Spirit. How many of you have ever had that happen before? Is that the Holy Spirit? You know the Holy Spirit was speaking out of your mouth when you were testifying either one-on-one or before a group of people. You know, I gave you the testimony last week there's been times. I remember this one particular time I was in India, one of the first times I really ever experienced this, and I'm preaching to this group of college students, and I'm telling you what, it was like I left my body, and I'm looking down on myself talking, and I'm like, that boy good, hallelujah. That's the Holy Spirit, man. Now, that doesn't mean that every single thing that comes out of people's mouths when they stand behind a pulpit is of the Lord. But what it does mean is that the Holy Spirit has given us the opportunity to speak by the Spirit. But again, it's not just to preachers. It's to every single one of us. Amen. This is available. So, he spoke by the Spirit of God. Amen. And then you remember the Bible says that when he was sitting before, he was on trial for this, they looked at him, he had the face of an angel. Do you remember that? And you remember I made the point that, glory be to God, we sure need that one. Active and operating. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will make you look better than you look. People are, you know, putting on makeup and combing their hair and trying to do all these things to look better. Man, the thing, all you need to look the best you can is getting full of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He'll just make you good looking. Amen. Praise God. He'll make you attractive. And that's one of the fruits of the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And then it goes on to say that after he stood up and for 52 verses, Stephen starts sharing the Word of God to them. I'm telling you, again, full of the Word. And then at the end, they gnashed at him with their teeth, and they ran at him to stone him. And then what ended up happening? He looks up into the heavens and sees into the spiritual realm, being full of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So what does that teach us? Your eyes will be open to spiritual things the more full of the Holy Spirit you are. But the problem is with most of us, our eyes are more open to the natural carnal things. But boy, when you get full of the Holy Spirit, he'll show you things. He'll give you wonderful insight and discernment in your life. So we ended up seeing that Stephen ended up getting stoned because they laid their coats down at the feet of a man named Saul of Tarsus. And you remember we made the point of that, of Stephen's forgiveness of Saul in that situation is one of the things that I believe the Holy Spirit has shown us qualified Saul to become an apostle. Amen. Showing us that it's important for us to learn to forgive one another. Amen. So now let's go to Acts chapter 8 and pick up where we left off. Acts the 8th chapter. Now, after Stephen was killed, the Bible says that they carried his body off and they made great lamentation concerning him. And this is when Saul was released to persecute the church and a bunch of different things happened. But I want you to notice something after this happened to Stephen. Verse 4 of Acts chapter 8. Hallelujah. It said, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Now notice this. Verse 5. Then Philip. Stop right there. Then Philip. This is the point I want to make on this. You know what we have the tendency to do when we're surrounded by a great man or woman of God that's used by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit and used to do many great signs and wonders? That we tend to put our trust in man. We tend to look to the person instead of the one who anointed the person. And you know that about our church is that we attempt to all the time to point you back that this is not the Trey show, this is not the leadership of High Point show, this is about the Holy Spirit and Him working in your life. Don't look to us. Don't look to us to pray for you. Don't look to us to hear from God for you and things like that. While we certainly make ourselves available to be there to help you out and things like that, we're trying to instill a culture here that the Holy Spirit is all you need. Amen. So, Philip shows up. Now, this Philip, it's traditionally believed that this Philip was another one of those seven deacons. If you go back and look at the list in Acts chapter 6, Philip was one of the names of them, and most people believe this was that Philip. So you know what it shows us? Is that, man, just because one person might fall away or one person might die or things like that, the Holy Spirit's going to find plan B. The Holy Spirit's going to show up and start using somebody else. Did you know that King David was plan B? Yeah, like a couple of you are nodding right there. Most of us think King David was God's first choice, but no, Saul was God's first choice. And because Saul faltered and failed, God chose David. Now, David turned out pretty well. He did some awesome things, showing us, put your trust in God. Don't put your trust in people. God is the one. He can raise up somebody else like Him. It's like us parents. We like to say to our kid, when our kid's acting a fool, we say, you better watch out because I can put you down and make another one just like you. You know, God's able to do that. Amen? So don't put your confidence in man or in a person. Put it in the Lord who's using the person. So this man Philip shows up and it says he went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Notice again, another deacon's going around doing miracles. Not an apostle, a deacon. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. And you'll go on to see here that many, after he was preaching the kingdom of God to them, many were baptized and saved, essentially, on that day. And then if you look down, look at verse 14. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, had become saved, born again, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Showing us what? We don't necessarily, when it comes to the Holy Spirit coming upon you, you don't receive the Holy Spirit when you're born again. Now, He comes to live on your spirit, and He washes and regenerates you, but there is a separate work of grace that's available to each and every one of us. You can be baptized in the Holy Spirit once you become a born-again child of God. Now, it can happen right at the moment you're saved, but for some of us, it happened decades later because we had not so much as heard whether there was a Holy Spirit. Right? So this experience ends up happening. And then I want you to skip down to verse 26 and notice what Philip goes on to do. It says, now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. And if you look in the margin of your Bible, it means this is a deserted place. Now, you know what this teaches us? Is that we have the present day ministry of angels too. Angels work in the church still today, appearing to people, speaking to people, helping people have direction and things like that. But lest we get too spooky with this thing and get too much over into, well, I want to see angels too. Got to be a little bit careful on that. We don't have any record in the scriptures that these people that saw angels were seeking to see angels. The angels just showed up, amen, to give them direction when they needed it. Now, we're going to find this out this morning. This is not the primary way in which the Holy Spirit leads us. But there are certain times that you might need a supernatural experience like that. Like Mary. If somebody's coming to tell one of you ladies that you're going to supernaturally conceive a child, you might need more than the Holy Spirit to tell you that. You might need Gabriel to come tell you that. Right? Well, what would it have been in this case that would have required an angel being sent to Philip? Notice that it was in a deserted place. We could have the tendency in a situation like that because we're going where there is nobody. Lord, you've called me to evangelize people. You've called me to go do things. And Lord, you're calling me to go to this place where there ain't nobody. You want me to go to the desert? Sometimes you need a little bit more supernatural direction in a situation like that. So that happens. But then I want you to notice that once he obeys the word that came from the angel and went there, notice what it says in verse 27. So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. Now that's just old King Jimmy for I want you to go next to that chariot and get glued to it. That's really what the Greek word means, to get glued, stick to it. So when he says here, the Holy Spirit said, go near this chariot. Now, we're going to get into some details on this. How did Luke, who was writing this, know it was the Holy Spirit who said this to him? Now, it might have been. Yeah, it might have been the Holy Spirit that was inspiring him. It might have been that Philip communicated this to him. But I'm of the persuasion that we know it's the Holy Spirit talking when it comes from within. Because who lives on the inside of us? The Holy Spirit. So if it's in the midst of us, if it's here, unless it's a booming voice from heaven, it's the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And actually, let's look at a couple other examples of this. Go to chapter 10, and let me show you where this happened with Peter. You know this story. This is when Cornelius and all his household was saved, the Holy Spirit being poured out on the Gentiles for the first time. And the Lord, I love this right here. Let's actually read this story. This is good. Verse 10 of chapter 10. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners. Now, you understand that back in their day, they wouldn't have known how to describe this. But think about it. It was like a great sheet bound by four corners. So you know what this was? The first movie. I mean, really, honestly, it might have been the Lord like a big movie screen. Appears it to him, right? And then what does he see in it? Notice this. And in it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth. So now we know what the first TV show ever was. Animal Planet. Hallelujah. Wild beasts and creeping things and birds of the air. And a voice came to him saying, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, no, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything common or unclean. And the voice spoke to him again a second time. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. And of course, we know the whole story here. It was an illustration to teach Peter that the Gentiles were not to be considered unclean anymore. There was a new dispensation that was being ushered in by the grace of God to where now all of the nations can become the chosen people of God. And all of us in here, most of us in here, have benefited from that. Praise God. Amen? Can I get a glory to God? So then he's sitting there thinking about this vision. And notice verse 19. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down with them, doubting nothing, for I who? The Holy Spirit, who said this to him, said this. Amen. I had sent them. So what are we seeing here? We're seeing a couple of examples how the Holy Spirit will speak like a sentence or a paragraph to individuals. And that's something that I think that we need to become a little bit more sensitive to, that the Holy Spirit will speak up on the inside of you. Now, what I think is very interesting about this is the Holy Spirit is speaking to all of us all the time. But the problem is not with Him speaking. It's with us hearing. I've heard Pastor Robert tell this story in some of his messages, and I'm going to attempt to tell it. You'll get the point. I might butcher it a little bit. But there was this man. He was sitting in another room, sitting in his recliner, and his wife was in the kitchen cooking. And so he hollers out. He said, I'm going to do a little test, find out how well she listens. So he hollered out from that room. He said, honey, what's for dinner? He didn't hear nothing. So then he gets up from the recliner and goes over into the hallway toward the kitchen. And he said, honey, what's for dinner? She didn't answer him again. So then he goes into the kitchen and says, honey, what's for dinner? And then his wife spoke up and said, for the third time, chicken. What's the point of the story? It wasn't her speaking that was the problem. It was his hearing that was the problem. In other words, God's transmitter is not what's broken. Our receiver is oftentimes what's broken. Do you know there are radio signals going through this room right now? And if you just put up an antenna and you got a receiver, you can pick up on these signals that are here. So just because you don't hear it doesn't mean it's not happening. And the Bible makes it very clear that the Lord is the shepherd, the good shepherd, and His sheep hear His voice. So He's speaking to us, and none of us have the right to ever say, Lord, don't talk to me. I don't hear Him. No, Lord, this is the way you should pray. Lord, help me to hear you better. Fix my receiver so I can be a little more sensitive to what you're saying. So these are some of the things that were going on in the early church. The Holy Spirit was speaking, and people like Peter and Philip were hearing Him very clearly. Now let me show you another way in which the Holy Spirit does speak supernaturally to us. Let's go over to Acts 11. Go to Acts 11 first. Thank you, Jesus. Another way that the Holy Spirit speaks to the church is through words that would come up on the inside of you, but He also speaks to you through His prophets. The ministry of the prophet is still relevant in the church today. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there that have put a bad taste in our mouth about so-called prophecy, and you've got prophets and prophetesses out there that just have pretty much labeled themselves these things and go around saying a bunch of stuff, and it's, you know, it's spoiled a lot of things for us, but there is still a real thing about it. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Amen. There is still a reality, and God is still using people. And we see this here in Acts chapter 11, verses 27 and 28. Look at this. And in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them, named Agabus, remember that name, stood up and showed by the Spirit. Notice that phrase. He showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. So the Holy Spirit showed this prophet, and therefore this prophet showed the people, warning them that there was going to be this great famine that was going to happen. Showing us that the Holy Spirit oftentimes will warn us that there are tough times ahead. Amen. Now, this is not advocating that we go around and become a bunch of prophet chasers. I know that this is something that we've been afflicted with in many charismatic circles, is that when the prophet comes to town, we love to go get a word. I want a word, I want a word, I want a word. And there is a relevance to that. There is something that's a reality to that. But I believe the Lord first wants us to believe this word, amen, that He's already spoken to us, and make sure we do all that. I've heard a preacher say that before. He said he was praying one time in his room, and he said, God, I want you to speak to me. Please speak to me. I want to hear from you. And the Lord opened his eyes to his Bible sitting over there on the nightstand and said, son, I've already said many things to you. Find out what I've already said, and if I want to say something else to you, I will. Amen. But see, a lot of times we like it more supernatural. We like it with all the smoke and mirrors and all the excitement that comes along with it. But the Lord is desiring to have a people that will know Him, that will draw near to him in fellowship and learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit on the inside of them. And this is what's so awesome about it. When you're starting to hear the Lord like that, then when somebody else comes along and shares something and gives you a word, you'll be more apt to know between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Amen. How many people's lives have been ruined because some so-called prophecy was given to them to do something, and they went and did it? And I'll tell those people, and they say, man, that person prophesied over me and said this, and it ruined my life. You know what I'll say to them? It's your fault. You can't blame that on them. You got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you to confirm whether something was of God or whether it was not. And we'll learn more about that this morning. So this prophet comes to let them know there's some rough sailing ahead. Amen? And oftentimes when you get spectacular words, whether it be like an angel or whether it be like a prophecy that's given over you, a lot of times that's to let you know there's some rough sailing ahead, and therefore you're going to need something substantial to stand on. My favorite example to use of that is Shannon. Because the Lord spoke to her in almost an audible voice saying, that is the man you're going to spend the rest of your life with. You know why? Because there was rough sailing ahead. I was going to be hard to be married to. She was going to have something to stand on, glory be to God. Now, she's so wonderful, I didn't have to have that. The Lord just told me, you just pick. Praise God. Amen. So this man Agabus came and warned them of this. And guess what else happens? Let's go to chapter 21. And I want you to notice how the Holy Spirit started giving words to the Apostle Paul not to go to Jerusalem. Look at this. We got a few examples here. Acts 21:4. They went to a place named Tyre, not tired, Tyre. And it says in verse 4, and finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. They told Paul through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem. Now, you'll have people that will argue about this, and I'm just giving you trayology right now. I am of the opinion Paul was not supposed to go to Jerusalem. Just by this simple scripture, they were telling Paul through the Spirit. The Lord was telling him, the Holy Spirit was telling him not to go up to Jerusalem. But he was bound and determined to go to this place. And you know what ends up happening. He gets arrested and a lot of bad things happen to him. Now, it could have been the Lord. I am willing to say that. But I just believe that the Lord was warning him. Or at least, at the very least, preparing him for the tough times that were ahead. Because if you look ahead to chapter 21, verses 10 through 11. You remember Agabus? Look at here. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Notice this phrase, thus says the Holy Spirit, thus says the Spirit. See, this is what I believe is the difference between the Old Covenant and New Covenant. Old Covenant, it was thus saith the Lord. New Covenant, thus saith the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who is talking to us today, because he is the part of the Godhead that lives on the inside of us today. Amen. So it's learning to recognize the Holy Spirit. Now, let me show you something else. Go to Acts chapter 13 and look at verse 2. I told you that it's our receiver oftentimes that's broken and being able to hear the Lord in the way he desires to speak to us. Notice this. I believe this verse shows us a key of how to increase our sensitivity to the Holy Spirit speaking to us. Notice this. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said. So the Holy Spirit said this as they did something, right? What were they doing? Ministering to the Lord and fasted. Now, are you going to talk about fasting, Pastor? Yes, I am. There are benefits to fasting. And I'm not just talking about fasting food. You can fast television. You can fast your hobby. You can fast various things in your life. When you fast a natural carnal thing, that maybe you're giving too much of your attention to, that your flesh tends to lean on, do you know what you're doing by default? You're increasing your sensitivity to something else. And I believe it's the Spirit of God. So they're fasting here, and they're ministering to the Lord. What does that mean? How do you minister to the Lord? Well, you know how the Bible teaches us over and over, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. You know how you bless the Lord? By praising Him. You minister to His heart. Hallelujah. My father in the faith, Andrew Womack, tells this story. He said there was this one time that he had his sons for the day, and they had a great time. They went out, and they were playing in the mud and in the creek and doing all kinds of fun father-son things. And then he cleans them up at the end of the day, puts them down to bed, and he's walking out of the room. He turns the light off, and his son says, Dad. And he said, Yes, son. He goes, You're a good dad. And you know what he said that did to him? It blessed him. You bless the Lord. You minister to His heart when you just tell Him how good He is, how much you love Him, how thankful you are. And here's the awesome benefit, that when you begin to worship Him, blessing Him, praising Him, you increase your sensitivity to hear from Him. The more the Lord hears your voice, the more you're going to hear His voice. And that's what happens here. Amen. Again, it happened through the prophets that were present in this certain situation. So now, we've talked about some of the ways the Holy Spirit speaks to us. He will speak and give you a full sentence, you know, and speak up on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit will also speak to you through the prophets. But I'm going to tell you, those are not the predominant way the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. Let me show you in Acts chapter 15 as we close today, how the Holy Spirit desires to speak to us. Acts chapter 15 is the Jerusalem Council, and this is where the whole issue gets brought up and needs to be addressed in the early church of whether the Gentiles should be required to keep the law, namely be circumcised. That was the big issue that was going on. So this whole issue gets brought up to the Jerusalem Council, and I want you to notice what happens here. It says in verse 22, "Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, and Silas." Make special note of this man Silas in this situation. Leading men among the brethren. "Then they wrote this letter by them, the apostles and elders and the brethren, to the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. Greetings. Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment, it seemed good to us." Make note of that phrase right there. "It seemed good to us, being assembled together with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who had risked their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. For it..." Notice this now. Back up to verse 28. "For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit." Now, they just said it just seemed good to us, not to lay any extra burden on you. Now they're saying it seemed good to the Holy Spirit. And you remember we saw over there in Acts chapter 5 that we are witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit whom God has given us. So what we're seeing here is the teamwork of the early church together with the Holy Spirit. And how was it manifested? It just seemed good for us to do this. And we believe it seemed good to the Holy Spirit too. Now, if you look over in Luke chapter 1, you'll see a great example of this. In Luke chapter 1, don't turn over there. In Luke chapter 1, we see the reason why Dr. Luke, wrote the Gospel of Luke, one of the most important books that would ever be written. And it says over there in chapter 1, verse 3, "For it seemed good to me to write to you an orderly account of all the things both Jesus said and did." Now, he didn't say, "An angel appeared to me, I got an audible voice from God." He said, "I wrote this book because it seemed good to me." Now, listen, if the Gospel of Luke, which reveals to us more details of the birth and childhood of Jesus than any other gospel, and is loaded down with 20-something chapters of awesome truth of our Messiah, and we know the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, therefore Luke was being inspired to write this, right? And he said, I wrote it because it just seemed good to me. If the Lord is going to lead a man to write one of the most important books that would ever be written on this planet by the seamer on the inside of him, how much more is the Holy Spirit going to lead us by the seamer on the inside of you? In what job you're to take, in where city you're to go to, and who you're to marry, and all these other things. This is the primary way that the Holy Spirit's going to lead you. So you got to learn to discern the seamer on the inside of you. Now, to each one of us, it's different. Some of us, I've heard people describe it in all different ways. It just got a little scratching on the inside of me, so I knew I wasn't supposed to do it. Me, it just seems good. You know, I have it come up in my heart. And then there's other times, and we've all experienced this, have we not? To where we're like, something didn't seem right, but we hit the proverbial override button and we went and did it anyways, and we incurred some loss or delay, right? And then what do we say? I knew I wasn't supposed to do that. How many times have we all done that? That's because that, I don't know about that, seems good, seems bad, is the Holy Spirit attempting to keep you on the path that's going to always be for your good. Amen. And you know, you got people that'll say, oh man, I went and ran into the median down there driving on the interstate and God was just teaching me not to do this and that. No, honey. That was you. That's right. The Lord ain't driving you into the median on the road and causing these things to try to teach you something. No, sometimes it's just that we're hard-headed. You know, I like to say it this way. This is a little harsh, but I just like to put it this way. People say, everything happens for a reason. Yeah, and sometimes that reason is because we were dumb and hard-headed. The Lord ain't making you do things like that. Listen to the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Glory to God, and He'll keep you where you need to be. Amen. So, this happens. It seemed good to them to send these chosen men, right? Who was included in that? Silas. And they send them. Now, notice this in verse 30. And when they were sent off, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. And when they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. Now Judas and Silas, themselves being prophets also, exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. And after they had stayed there for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. However, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. Very significant statement. See, he was sent there because his leadership, it seemed good to them to put him there. But then once he was there, he said, it seems good for me to stay. Even though everybody else might be leaving, I feel like I need to stay. And if you go on to read the story, I'm not going to read it to you, but you know what ends up happening? Paul's traveling around with Barnabas at that time. And then a dispute occurred between Barnabas and Paul because Barnabas wanted to take John Mark with him. Paul didn't. So they had what the Bible calls no small contention. And there was a big fight going on, and they're like, we're not doing it. And so they end up splitting up. And guess who was in the right place at the right time to be teamed up with the ultimate mega ministry of that day? Silas. Why? Because it seemed good for him to stay there. Again, not handwriting on the wall, not writing in the cloud, Silas, stay there, thus saith the Lord. It just seemed right for me to stay. How many people do you reckon have missed their divine appointment because they didn't listen to the seamer on the inside of them and they left when they got offended or they quit and didn't do this for whatever reasons? I guarantee you, when we get to heaven, I believe when the Bible says that the Lord is going to have to wipe away the tears of people in heaven, that might be one of those things, is that we're going to see, I missed it here. I left there when I wasn't supposed to. I didn't submit there when I was supposed to. And they lose their divine appointment. Again, God's not dependent on you, though. The whole plan ain't going to falter just because one person don't listen to God. Again, He'll raise up somebody else just like you. Right? See, I'm not naive enough to think that I was God's first choice to be this church's pastor at this time. I might have been sixth choice, 12th choice. I don't know. I'm just glad I listened. Hallelujah. And doing what the Lord told me to do, right? So what I'm saying is we got to learn to discern. You hear that phrase? Learn to discern what's going on the inside of you. Now look at chapter 16. We'll end with this. Hallelujah. I'm excited about this because this teaches you something. This is something that, this is one of the most important messages you'll ever hear. How to be led by the Holy Spirit. Now, as we go through this year, I'm going to spend weeks on this. And I'll preach this same message to you again. You know why? Because you need to hear it more than once. And to instill in us that the Holy Spirit on the inside of you is there to lead and guide you into all truth. Hallelujah. Now, in chapter 16, notice this. Verse 6, Paul and Silas are here. And when they had gone through, you remember this place? Fragile. Remember that last week? Yeah. Liz is the only one that remembers that. You remember the Christmas movie and, you know, it was written on the box and he said, oh, it says Fragile. It must be Italian. Hallelujah. Sorry. I'm goofy. You know, I tell bad jokes. All right. And so he'd gone through Phrygia in the region of Galatia. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Notice the next verse. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So what are you seeing right here? You're seeing the apostles going everywhere and preaching the gospel to every creature. And then the Holy Spirit comes in and tells you when you're not supposed to go somewhere. He's not there to always tell you when to go somewhere. Why? Because you already have the Word of God that says go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's why it's like when you see somebody that's sick, you go into Walmart and you see somebody that's sick. Lord, do you want me to pray for him? Yes! I'll give you the answer right now. God says yes, go pray for him. But the Holy Spirit on the inside of you will show you when not to do something. He'll show you a better way. You following what I'm saying? And I'm telling you, this has kept me out of so much trouble. Praise God forever. Listening to that voice on the inside. How did he forbid them? How did he not permit them? I believe it was through it seemed bad to them. Just like it seemed good to them in another situation, it just seemed bad to them. They just knew, not supposed to go to Asia. Not supposed to go to Bithynia. Not supposed to go to these places. And then we see what happens. They have a vision of the Macedonian man said, come and help us. So then that was the Lord's plan. Because why? God is the God of the green light. The light is always green to preach the gospel to people. I'll just go ahead and tell y'all this. I've asked people to share their testimony. Well, let me pray about it. Do you have something else on your calendar to preach somewhere else? That's what I want to say. You don't have to pray about that. If you've got the opportunity to share your story or the Word of God, share it, unless you've got multiple invites. Right? Because he tells you to do it all the time. Amen? So he's telling you, you follow it, no matter what. Hallelujah. So he's the God of the green light. But he'll give you the red light when you need it. You listening, Cheryl? This is the word that we need to get instilled on the inside of the Holy Spirit. You know, it'll seem good to you. You know, here's a great example of it. How many of you have been married for 20 years plus? All right. How many of you that had your hands up could testify that you were with your spouse somewhere and they didn't even open their mouth, but you knew it seemed bad? Come on, all the husbands said amen. You're with somewhere with them and something came out of your mouth and they didn't even say nothing, didn't even have a look on their face, but you knew that it seemed bad, what you just said. Why? Because you've been hanging with them so long, there is this connection to where you can tell they're feeling what they're feeling and they can tell you're feeling what you're feeling. Amen or oh me. So what we're seeing here, this is the Holy Spirit. That's one of the main ways. If you start hanging out with him, then the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, you'll start to become more familiar with his voice. And you'll know, Holy Spirit, I've known your voice enough to know this doesn't seem right here, so I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Glory be to God. Amen. Let's open our Bibles one last place. Acts chapter 9. Did you get something out of this today? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, boy, and it's timely, too. Is it not? How many of you have got some major decisions you've got to make in your life coming up here in the near future? And you might not even know it, but I guarantee you that the Lord is talking to you about how to listen, how to hear, how to be guided by Him. Praise God. Now, in Acts 9:31, I love this verse because I believe the Lord has a word for us this morning. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. Notice this sentence. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit were multiplied. Let me ask you a question. How were the churches multiplying? Walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Spirit, they were multiplied. Showing us this is the perfect church growth formula. While many churches out there are trying to advertise through all these things and doing all these natural things, you know, I was telling Pastor Robert this just last Sunday, I believe it was, is that we were looking in here and, you know, we've got these god-awful orange pews, you know, and we've got, you know, certain things that are just a little out of date and stuff like that. But you know what? I'm not quick to say we got to go get everything like every other church thinks they need to. You know why? What we need is the Holy Spirit working in our midst, and we will grow all we want to. We're not trying to be like every other church. Praise God. That's right. That's exactly right, Matt. We raise somebody from the dead in here, we're going to have all the people we want. Right? And they were walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and they began to multiply. First of all, the fear of the Lord. That doesn't mean being afraid of God or being terrified of Him. What that means is to reverence or respect Him. It'd be like if the president or somebody that you really respect was going to come and stay at your house. You might clean your house a little more than you normally would. You might straighten things up. You might put certain things, take certain things off the wall. You know what I'm saying? Why? That's the fear. It is not that you're afraid of them, but that you respect them so much that you're willing to adapt to their interest and their liking. That's the fear of the Lord. So it's like that with us. When we learn to handle the precious things of God as indeed precious, when we esteem His stuff more than we esteem our stuff, we're preparing ourselves individually and corporately to start multiplying. But it's also in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And we'll get into this in the coming weeks, but this word comfort means parakletos, one called alongside to help. The Holy Spirit has been called alongside of us to help. And we've just seen example after example after example in the book of Acts of how the Holy Spirit was helping the early church to turn this world upside down. And He did it. Hallelujah. And He'll do it again today. So we need to learn to walk in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Then we'll start growing individually and corporately. Can I get an amen?